Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Tom, and today we're looking at completing the Pokédex in a Pokémon game and other games.
Whoa!
That, first of all, Tom, that is off its head. Also, welcome to the show, Tom. This is your first Thumb Cramps episode. Yeah.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Strong round of applause like that. Fuck.
For Tom. A round of applause, please.
Yeah, yeah. Well done.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, yeah. We did give you one instruction at the start of the episode, which was make sure you specify what Pokemon game, and you didn't.
Well, no. See, now before I reveal it, people are going to be like, which one did he complete? Did he complete one of the ones that has over 800 Pokemon in it?
Yeah. Oh, no. Did he complete, you know, Pokemon Blue? Just 150
guys.
Just 150 fellas. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. 150 is not even a big number.
Yeah,
but
dude.
No, I will say this, objectively harder to complete the Pokedex in those first two games because you don't have, it's harder to trade.
Yeah, that's true.
You need link cable.
You need a
cable. Friend and a link cable. Two things that
and
were
a
hard
Game Boy
to...
from the 90s.
Yeah, very true. Did you ever link up when you played like Pokemon Red and Blue back in the day? Did you link up and trade?
I didn't link up and trade until the third generation of Pokemon because my brother and I didn't have a link cable until then.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so we didn't do any of that trading. So there was no way I was completing the 150.
Yeah,
like that wasn't happening first day out.
As a child, here's a story about me and Pokemon. As a child, when I was about maybe 7, I had Pokemon Blue, and I couldn't beat the Elite Four. And a kid I knew when I lived in the Northern Territory was like, let me borrow your Game Boy. I want to play Pokemon. And I was like, okay. And then he completed the Elite Four before me with my Pokemon. He gave it back to me, saved, and I cried for like a full day because he'd finished the game that I'd spent with my Pokemon. Oh my God. Oh. And I have like vivid memories of lying in my mum's lap crying and her clearly not fathoming what the hell I was talking about. Because like when your kid is like, "Bro, he beat it with my Venusaur," she's like, "What are you saying?" Child of mine.
I don't understand what a Venusaur is.
What could you be trying to tell me? But she was sympathetic.
I feel like everyone has a traumatic Pokemon story from their youth because I had Pokemon Blue and I had played it so much. I had like a crazy party. Like my strongest Pokemon were really weird choices. I like explicitly remember this. I had a level 100 Charizard. I had like a level 76 Aerodactyl. I had like a level 82 Tentacruel.
Tentacruel is an MVP. Everyone sleeps on Tentacruel, but it's a boss.
Hell yeah. He's grizzly looking. I like that about Tentacruel.
Yeah, and I had a... I think the other one was a Dragonite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dragonite's the last one.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah,
I feel like it was that. And that one made sense. But the other, like, the Aerodactyl and the fact I had a Tentacruel that would just...
Yeah.
And then I would always just have two that I was, like, training and trying to get to, like, around level 50. Anyway.
Yeah.
I restarted the game just to like play with a Squirtle, I think, and I accidentally went to the trading area, and I knew that I couldn't trade because I had to save, but I was just like pressing A, and I accidentally did.
No,
and, yeah, I was just like, oh no!
Yeah. Damn.
Oh. I've just realized something just based on these anecdotes is that between the three of us, if we were playing the original generation, we'd all pick a different starter.
Venusaur, that's true. Blastoise, and Charizard.
Yeah, I pick five starters every generation, except the newest ones. I think I picked grass because I like Drum Boy.
I picked grass and regretted it. I always pick grass every single starter, even if I hate the starter for some reason.
I'm always like, water, baby.
That is it, but isn't it fun? Like, I hated Chikorita, but I was like, I guess I got her. Like, okay,
I've told a fib very early on. I hope you'll welcome me back. But there is one exception where in the Sun and Moon games, I didn't pick the water one because the water one was dog shit. And I picked the owl because I wanted to be an owl.
The owl was cool. Mm. Yeah. The water one was... to me. What the hell was the water one in Sun and Moon?
It was a seal.
Ah, yeah, come on.
We've had seals before. What are you talking
there's
about?
There's a Pokemon literally called Seal. Who cares? Yeah.
There's even like a walrus one. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's true. Walrin?
Yep, that's it.
I know Pokemon.
Yeah. So, Tom, you've kept us waiting for 6 minutes.
On Tenderhooks.
Thereabouts.
It was the most recent game. It was Sword and Shield.
Yeah, was it all Sword or was it Shield?
It was Shield.
Shield.
Yeah. So,
and did you literally do the impossible and complete the entire Pokedex event? Oh, wait, no, because Shield, there's only a certain amount of Pokemon you can have in the game. It's not like all 800 or whatever.
So there's only 400 that you need to actually complete the entire Pokedex.
So many.
So I was like, yeah, I know, it's still a lot, but I was like, this is doable. And I got to a point where I was just sort of playing and whatever.
Yeah.
And then I kind of looked at how many I had and I was like, I'm like 40 off. Oof. I'm in lockdown, baby. I can do this.
Whoa. What was the these are the questions I want to know. What was the hardest one to find, and what was the final one that you got?
So the two hardest to find were obviously the legendary, the exclusive legendary from Sword.
Yes, fair.
So that was tricky. But I got that. So I'm very lucky that I have a good friend, Callum, who plays Pokemon a lot as well. And he does this lovely thing where if he sees a Pokemon that he knows I like in his game, he'll catch it and then just trade it to me.
Ah, oh, what a gem.
And just through some weird thing, I ended up with a legendary from Lugia, one of the legendaries from Silver and Gold. So I had that ready to go. And then with the new DLC, they were like, hey, every legendary Pokemon's now available. So I had two Lugias, and I was like,
oh,
I wonder if I put this up. There's a thing called the GTS, the Global Trade Service. So you put something up, and you're like, hey, I've got this, and I'm looking for this. And that's really how I completed the decks, is I just started
doing trades.
I put Lugia up, and I was like, I've got this, and I'm looking for the legendary from Sword. So if anyone's got it, that'd be sick.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes, I had the legendary from Sword. So what was looking like the hardest mountain to climb wasn't that hard in the end.
A breeze.
The hardest one was a Pokemon called Drampa, which is a dragon.
Mm. Yeah.
It is Shield exclusive, so you can't get it from Sword. Is only found in one location in the game.
Yep.
On a certain weather.
Oh,
like only
man.
One kind of weather and has a 1% to 2% chance of spawning.
Damn.
Was that the last Pokemon you caught yourself?
It was the last one I caught. The other one I did was I had to breed one so I could get the baby version of one of the things that I caught.
So a baby version was what completed your Pokedex?
Yeah, that Togepi rolls. Was what actually completed the Pokedex.
Togepi too? What a classic. Yeah, that feels so right. I don't know
it
why.
It felt powerful.
But, elated when you did it? Like, that's the kind of thing that I think every kid, the moment we started playing Pokemon Blue and they were like, hey, complete your Pokedex, we all were like, I'll do it. But then we all went through a period of time where we're like, I'm never going to do this. You've done the impossible. You've achieved a childhood dream.
I've played every Pokemon game that's ever come out all the way through. I've never completed a Pokedex just because they also introduced like event Pokemon, which hard to get. There's none of that in Sword and Shield until I think the DLCs come out and you get some weird event stuff. For the most part, it's pretty doable. You've just got to have someone willing to trade. But there are some like really asshole, like you got that Drampa one that's really hard to get.
Yeah.
So Farfetch'd evolves in this new game and it is a piece of shit to evolve.
How do you do it?
It
It's you got to get so it doesn't level up. There's no stone or anything.
Yeah.
You have to, in one battle, get 3 critical hits in a single battle.
Oh, my God.
And at the
end
of the battle, it will level up.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, so, it's dog shit.
Damn.
It's
so hard. That sucks.
You'd have to do that. You'd almost have to do that in, like, either a gym leader battle or a, like, the Elite Four, because 3 yeah. critical hits and
For not 1 or 2 critical hits to, like, KO the Pokemon yeah. you're fighting.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah. I tried doing the League a couple of times to do it, and it kept dying because it's weak as shit as well, which is great.
Yeah.
God damn. I really like some of the, I don't know if they're in Sword and Shield, but, like, some of the weird ways you've got to evolve Pokemon, like, to get, what's that Cicada Pokemon? Ninjask?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shed Ninja?
Are you going to have a spare spot in your party when it evolves?
Yep. That's sick.
I had to get that one. That's one of the 400 you have to get.
Oh, man. That's satisfying. That's good.
There's another Pokemon. Is it? No, I don't think it's cast form, but there's one where you have to spin around heaps or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Cream Pie? Is that Pokemon?
Yeah, it's Cream Pie.
Oh, yeah, it's that cake one, and you give it a treat, and then you spin around in a circle, and it levels up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also one you got to turn the console upside down. So it hits like 32. Yeah, so it's a squid, and you turn the console upside down, and as it levels up, it'll evolve.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Pokemon's
They make
crazy.
It hard. How do you know that without Google? You don't.
Wait, so that's a Switch Pokemon? You have to literally turn your Switch upside down.
Yep, so it was introduced on the 3DS, but even on Switch, it's the same thing. You've got to physically... So you can't play that on, like, you can't play that having
docked,
it connected into the dock. You've got to take it out of the dock.
So is it upside down as in, like, so I'm holding my Switch, and I'll do it this way so you can see it. So is it upside down in a way that, like that?
Just
or
like
is
that.
It
yep, just like that.
That.
No, so not face down. You've got to literally
turn it upside down.
Completely upside down.
That's cool. That's cool stuff.
What Pokemon is
crazy?
It's the Pokemon's called Malamar. It's like a squid. So it starts off, the first version is called Inkay, and it's like the right way up. And when it evolves, it's just that, but upside down and evil. So
That's cool.
It's powerful stuff.
Man.
It was a nice achievement. So when you do it, you go to, like, you have to go to a hotel. There is a prize for doing it. You go to a hotel and you talk to, because the developers of Pokemon always put themselves in the games, and you can, like, meet them, and they give you items, and you can battle them and stuff. And so one of the developers is like, come and see me when you've completed your Pokedex. And he, like, tells you, like, oh my God, I'm so excited. This is incredible. And I have to admit, I got a little bit excited when, like, the screen goes black, and then it comes up with, like, a certificate.
Oh, yes.
Says, Tom has completed the Pokedex. Congratulations. And, like, the date. And I was like, I wish I could print that and put it on my wall. Like,
yeah.
Who needs a diploma? I've got 400 Pokemon, baby.
Did it have a QR code? I'd be shocked if they didn't let you actually print that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I was overwhelmed, so I don't know.
It feels like the kind of thing that definitely in an older generation, you would have been able to take your, like, Game Boy Advance to a Blockbuster and connect it somehow and print off your certificate, surely.
The first one, if you had the Game Boy printer, it let you print off the certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that checks out. I don't know how to get the certificate again. I think I should have taken a photo of it at the time, and I didn't.
Actually,
I'd have been overwhelmed too.
There's a screenshot button on the Switch.
You know, I know this, but I just got so overwhelmed with completing it and excited. And then at the end of that, I got my certificate, and then he's like, here, have this. So you get a shiny charm, which increases the chance of seeing shiny Pokemon.
Ooh.
Complete the shiny Pokedex now, Tom.
That's a task. That's fuck.
Yeah. But imagine if you did it.
Yeah. Imagine how powerful you'd be then. And who knows what reward you would get, you know?
Maybe they give you a certificate, but they'd rock up to your house and give it to you.
Yeah, Pokemon themselves would rock
Mr.
up
Pokemon
to your house.
Mr. Pokemon and Mr. Nintendo at my house. Here you go, sir. Congratulations.
Together. Well done. You can be in the next Pokemon game. As the protagonist,
But also the game is real life now, so well done, you've introduced Pokemon to the real world.
We're sending you to Poker Realm, Tom, it's happening.
I've cursed us all to a... Because some of those descriptions are... This is the other thing about the Pokedex, you get all these great descriptions. Some of them are fucked.
Yeah.
This is a kid's game, And there's Pokemon that are like, oh, it looks like a sandcastle, but if you touch it, it will suck your soul into its heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, like, yeah, chill.
Yeah, I'm that's 10. Sick. Spiritomb or whatever, where it's like 10,000 people. Is this a Pokemon, technically? I don't think so. It's just ghosts.
Yeah.
Ghosts
that's
in a rock.
The new DLC. Spiritomb yeah. is in the new
Spiritomb.
One. To get him, you have to talk to a tombstone that just uh-huh. says, spread my message amongst the world. You then have to talk. So in Sword and Shield, when you're on the internet, you can talk to other trainers walking around and they give you items randomly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to talk to like 30 or 40 people and then go back and it's like, thank you for spreading my message. And then Spiritomb's there.
What?
That's
the
cursed.
Hell? That's
it
so
is literally
intense.
Cursed. It's literally That's an evil so... spirit bound to a rock given it's to a 10-year-old boy.
Not a Pokemon. Even close. That's the best.
Yep.
Wow.
So, Tom, is this your biggest gaming achievement?
I think it is. Question. I think I've never got, like, on PlayStation, I've never got all the trophies of anything. Although I am one trophy away from doing that on Ghost of Tsushima. So maybe I'll be able to achieve two things.
That is crazy.
You're
what
a
trophy
champ.
Are you missing?
You beast.
Killing people by knocking them off a cliff.
That seems easy.
Yeah.
You'd think, but when you realize you get to the end of the game and you've like killed most of the people, there's not a lot of people to knock off cliffs.
Yeah, but you could still get, like, because you'd started a new game plus.
That's true.
That seems very easy.
You could 100% Ghosts of Tsushima, man. And then that's so powerful.
That seems crazy, Tom, that's the one that you're like, ah, well. I got really close. That was the last one. Knocking three people off a cliff.
You can see how much of an achievement it is to see I needed 40 Pokemon and go, yeah, I'll do this and not give up when I was 10 away.
Yeah. Ooh, my
cause,
God.
Like, Ghost of Tsushima would definitely have achievements that are like, defeat this boss without blocking or getting hit or whatever. And you're like, oh, yeah, sweet. But then knock three fellas off a cliff. You're like, nah.
Nah.
Yeah, you know.
That sounds like it's a common trophy as well.
I think Amazing. It is. I think it's a hidden one. One of those hidden, because it's not like a...
Yeah, but still.
That's so powerful.
Tom! Come on, mate! Hit that new game plus button, play for 5 hours, get the platinum trophy on Ghost of Tsushima, being like the top 0.1% or whatever.
Yeah. Don't you want to enter cool, beast eh? Mode, Tom? Is that not what you want?
Yeah, if I do that, then I'll have completed two things. So I'll be officially a gamer with a capital game.
We've
That's
done
true.
Like 100 episodes of Thumb Cramps. Yeah, no, we definitely have done 100 because we did a 100th episode. That's clever. I'm clever. None of us have done anything like that.
No, not even close. I have barely ever finished a Pokemon game. I genuinely think I finished 2 Pokemon games and I've played nearly all of them. So
I finished a bunch of games, but I think the most amount... Oh, actually, no, sorry, you know what? I have 100%ed a game on Xbox 360. I got all achievements, and that was Far Cry Blood Dragon, a standalone DLC.
Which barely counts, really, does
Deep
it?
Cut.
Yeah, my last achievement in that was kill 10 Blood Dragons, and I was like, this will be boring, but I can do it. And I did it, and I was like, sweet. I 100%ed it. I got 400 gamer points for that game because it is little and there's not many achievements.
Yeah. My God.
That's the only Far Cry game I've played.
I've played too many of them.
DLC.
Standalone really, DLC, you know? And I 100%ed it. So yeah, I was like, you know what? No, this game's on for me. I finished it. I'm done.
Yeah, you know. You know, unequivocally that those games aren't for you. How many thumbs, Tom? How many thumbs for completing the Galarian Pokedex?
Oh, well, like, it's a full 5 thumbs. Actually, you know what? It's 400 thumbs for
400
every single Pokemon I had to get.
One Even for the Pokemon that don't have thumbs, they still get a thumb.
Correct.
Spiritomb,
Diglett,
no
thumbs.
No thumbs.
Well, not that we can see.
Diglett? Diglett looks like a thumb, though.
That's true.
Diglett learns Scratch.
Yeah. He's got teeth.
Yeah, you can scratch with teeth.
That's bite. There's a move called that.
No.
Yeah,
there's
a
the action of biting
with
someone,
scratching with teeth. Yeah.
Come on, Tom. Well, thank you, Tom. You are the biggest gamer in the room. Jackson, what have you been playing? Probably nothing good, right?
Yeah, truly nothing good. So I watched a video of somebody playing a game called Half Dead. I think I actually played a game called Half Dead 2. And it's, you know, the movie The Cube.
Oh, yeah, I know Cube.
It's basically the cube. So you
not the cube.
Excuse
Drop the
me. Okay.
Because
who are you, Justin Timberlake in Social Network?
Cube is a good name for a movie. The Cube, I have no interest in. And then also Cube 2 is called Cube 2 Hypercube, which is a worse name. Yeah, anyway.
Is there a third one where it's called Cube Cubed? Like it's Cube with a little 3?
I think there is a Cube 3. Surely.
There's a Cube 3, but it's called Cube 0 because it's a prequel.
Anyway.
I have no interest in Cube 0. I have no interest in Cube 2 Hypercube. I only watch it because of the name. Anyway, I got a bit of interest in Cube. What are you saying?
So the game, I guess, I've never seen Cube, so I don't know. But the game basically plays out how I think the movie Cube goes. Mm-hmm. So you and other, however many other people are in like a big maze made of cubed rooms, or just rooms, you could say.
Yeah.
And in each of those rooms, there's the potential for there to be like a deadly trap or an avoidable trap or occasionally an enemy with chainsaws for arms to spawn. But you don't really know until you go into the room. And it's all a big maze of connected rooms. And so the idea is you want to try and find the end and not die.
That is the cube, yes.
Well, there you go. Again, I only played Half Dead 1, which was a very basic. And the way you found out what was in a room is you could take off your shoes and throw them into the room.
That also happens in Cube.
Well, there you go. And it would activate the trap. It's incredibly janky and very loud and very old. But and to be honest, pretty boring, really. Once you realize
How do you
that
get
it
your
was
shoes
just
back.
You don't. They just get destroyed. But then occasionally, so one of the enemies that might spawn in one of the rooms is like a little guy with chainsaws for hands, and he screams and runs at you and explodes, and he leaves a shoe. So you can get another shoe from him. Or if you find one of the other people that you're playing with's corpses, they might have their shoes that you can take to throw into, one of the other rooms.
So
yeah.
At this point, it sounds like there is two options you have every room.
Yes.
Walk into the room or throw your shoes into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you throw your shoes into the room, then your next option is just to walk to the next room.
Yes, yeah. That is basically the game, and that is why it was not a very good game.
Is it 3D or is it like
a
2D?
It's 3D, and that makes it all the jankier. Again,
does it look
maybe
like
Half Dead.
Half-Life?
Yeah, a little bit. Looks like it could have been like an early Half-Life mod. The reason that I played it is that I saw somebody playing again the sequel, and I was like, oh yeah, it looks like that'd be killer. You know, like one gaming session with the lads or whatever. then I saw that Half-Life 1 was like 60 cents. It was like a dollar on Steam. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, okay, why not? And it was fun
So you watched a different game.
Yes.
And well,
then was
the
shocked
sequel.
That the game you played wasn't as good as the game that you had watched, which was a different game.
Well, see, when I looked up the reviews, everyone was like, Half Dead 2 is just Half Dead 1, but prettier. And I was like, well, I don't care. I like the premise enough sounds interesting. And so I just went for Half Dead. And then Half Dead 1, I was like, this is underwhelming. So I figure Half Dead 2 will be underwhelming, but look a little bit nicer. And I'm just not that interested, you know? But I like the premise. I think that's a fun idea for like a silly co-op game, and it feels like if it was done well, it could be the kind of thing that would achieve the same level of like weird, like, you know, like Phasmophobia or like even Among Us. It's got like the vibes of, oh, that could be a good content game.
Okay.
For like streamers or YouTubers or whatever to play together. But yeah, it sucked. It was very janky. It was like okay for maybe the first five times you did it, but then you're like, oh, there are like seven different possible rooms and that's that, I suppose.
So I just found out that it's on the Nintendo Switch. I'm just looking at it up now.
That's crazy. You gonna get it, dude?
Yeah, maybe. This is a pretty glowing review. I'll think about the movie Cube.
It's good for one. You can exchange it for one decent gaming session with the lads, dude. That's the promise of Half Dead.
I got distracted and just typed Cube into the store and not Half Dead.
That's crazy that it's on the Switch. I do not think it would be. I mean, it was bad on computer. I don't think it would be good on the Switch. I get it does have the downside of the basic
free
premise.
Demo,
dude. Demo? Is it for Half Dead 1 or 2?
One. Two's not on
free
Switch.
Demo? What is going to be in that game? Maybe it'll
be
like one
two
of those
cubes.
Two rooms. Maybe it'll be one of those timed demos, you know, where you can do as much as you like in like 3 minutes.
We're halfway through this podcast episode, even though we're recording this over Zoom, I've started downloading the demo of Half Dead.
That rules. Yeah. Again, I think the premise is neat, and I think, but I also don't know how you could really do it in a way that would be satisfying to play with, like, because the very nature of the game is that you can just die like that and then you're out, and that's pretty boring. And there's not really much in the way, like a lot of the traps in the rooms are just unavoidable. Like one spawns a little black hole that you just get sucked into, or one is like the whole room gets set on fire and that's that. One is like a laser comes from one end toward you and you can't avoid it. You're gonna ask somebody, Tom, sorry?
Well, yeah, so if you get one of those rooms, that's it, game over.
That's it, you're dead, yeah. If you're not clever about it, and if you didn't throw a shoe in, or you were out of shoes, you're dead. And that's another thing where you're like, oh, I throw my shoe into the room, and I can find out what's in it. And so you're like, even though there's not, you can trick yourself into think there's a bit of strategy to this game. But then when you're out of shoes, you're like, well, I guess I'm just doing it blindly. Cool, half dead. Yeah. And then you're dead.
Half dead.
You're half dead. Well, you're full dead. Is really the go.
So where's the title come from? Are you ever half dead?
No.
Or are you half dead?
You're either full alive or full dead in Half Dead.
Or are you half dead in the sense that I think half dead based on the very quick glimpse I just saw of the page where I was like, ooh, demo.
Mm.
You're on a TV show? Is the TV show called Half Dead?
Maybe. I still don't know why the TV show is called that. I guess the idea is that like you're not getting out of this maze alive, so eat shit. One of the rooms, one of the things that can spawn in a room is like a giant guy with chainsaws for arms. And that's almost scary. And if it chased you, that would be pretty cool. If it chased you through the different rooms, because then you would be like, well, I can't go back because there's the guy chasing me, but I don't know what's in the room ahead. And so maybe that would be like an appealing situation, you know, where you have to think on your feet and take the risk. But he just stays in the room he's in, so you can just leave. And he just stomps around going, rah, 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 rah. And,
that's good. That's like Kevin in Celeste. Rah, 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 rah.
Yeah. So look,
classic bad guy noise.
Rah, rah, rah. This is kind of the same noise Bowser makes.
I just accidentally filled up all of my data on my Switch with Half Dead demo. Dude, so I deleted it and just realized that I really need to clean out my Switch because my SD card and my Switch memory just filled up with Half Dead demo. Oh,
that's amazing. That's going to be like 1 megabyte, surely? Like, it's tiny.
It was. Why does this matter? You know what? No, it's fine. It doesn't matter, but I need to check now.
Yeah, you need to
know. You asked a question, and I know that I can get the answer for you, but I just didn't
know
in front of me.
I activated that switch in your brain, and now
I just
need
typed in cube again.
You're desperate to tell me how big it is.
Yeah.
You'll die if you don't. I get it.
I will.
You'll be half dead until we half know.
Yeah.
241 megabytes.
There you go. That's still too many for Half Dead. Look, Half Dead, fine premise, terrible execution. Not worth the dollar I spent on it. Probably a knuckle is what it gets. Ooh. And we normally say a knuck, and I feel like saying a knuckle shows my disdain. Also, way more fun to say than knuck. A knuckle.
I got two questions.
Shoot.
So, one...
What?
Are you going to play Half Dead 2?
Maybe. What if it's good?
Because it might get a full thumb because at least it looks good.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll be like, at least it's pretty and it doesn't look like everyone's sliding all over the place. At least people will have full animations. That would be cool. And the second question?
And the second question is, are you going to watch the film Cube?
Yeah, of course. And then Cube, Hypercube, and then Cube Zero because it's a prequel. Dude, I will watch Cube.
Hell yeah.
I'll go in the cube, dude, if you're offering.
Get
put
Jackson
me
in
the goddamn
in the cube.
Cube. Get let's start a movement, okay? Get Jackson in the cube. He's keen, he's interested. Put me in the
Get
cube.
Get Jackson in the hypercube.
Put me in the damn
skip the first cube.
Yeah,
put
I don't
me in
need
the hypercube,
that.
Baby.
The hypercube is significantly more boring than the normal cube, so I can go in the normal cube.
Okay.
Hang on, how is the hypercube more boring? It's called hypercube.
Yeah, that you does think sound that, exciting. But it's the exciting part of the hypercube is that it doesn't make sense in physics way. Like, the rooms reorganize and it's boring.
Is that how
when
they
you're
pitch
in it,
it,
it's boring.
The hypercube. It doesn't make sense in physics way. Whoa! For that is wait, how they, no, what?
Yeah, that is how basically how they pitch it. With a normal cube, you feel the rooms move and
well, that's
everything
upsetting.
Makes sense. And
yeah.
And
well, anyway,
guy
if
gets
there's,
acid spat in his face or something.
If there's anyone that the people listening can contact to get me put in the cube, I don't know who runs it. I don't know who's in charge of the cube. But if you got their Twitter handle or their email address, please email them. Put Jackson in the cube 2021.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm keen. I'll audition. I'll do whatever I need to do. Put me in the cube. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if everyone could tweet thumbcrampspod with hashtag put Jackson in the cube, that would
yeah.
be good.
And if you know, again, if you know the creators of the cube or you know anyone who know, you know somebody who's worked on the cube,
yeah,
whether the movie or the real thing, just email them, send them a tweet, put me in the cube, you
maybe
know?
Tweet Half Dead 2 and be like, hey, can you put Jackson in your cube,
can you put there's a guy called Jackson, he's okay, can you put him in the cube?
He's fine, like your game, he's what I, put him in the cube.
He's about as good as your game is he is as a human being, so it's a perfect
cube.
Fit put him in the cube.
So that's good, Jackson, glad you loved that game, five thumbs or whatever you said.
Sure.
So, the game I've been playing is Donkey Kong Country 2 Diddy Kong's Quest. Any questions?
Ooh, no, dude. Just congratulations. Right?
Thank you. Thank you. So, I can't remember if it came up in Thumb Cramps or one of the other various other podcasts we do that are no good. But Jackson, at some point you mentioned Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
That sounds like
that reminded me that I have Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. But it also reminded me that I have the Nintendo Switch Online package thing, which gave me the Super Nintendo Online library, and I've played Donkey Kong Country to hell. The first one, loved it, play it heaps, play it all the time. Always playing it in my brain.
That's good.
When people are talking to me, I'm actually playing Donkey Kong Country internally.
Just anytime anyone's like, if people were recording your brain waves, just internally, it would just be going, DK, Donkey Kong, DK, just constantly.
If you hook Dusher up to one of those like heart rate monitors, it's just Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong. That's what it makes instead of a beep.
That loading screen as they're running along.
So
your heartbeat looks like.
Even though I am a big Donkey Kong head,
I'm a Kong King.
Mm-hmm. I haven't really played Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3 that much.
Okay.
I never owned them. Was always focused on the first one, and then like Donkey Kong 64 rolled around, and then obviously like Donkey Kong Country Returns, and I was like, hell yeah, this is all I need. But no, it turns out the Donkey Kong Country 2 Diddy Kong's Quest, a name that I'm pretty sure is what it's called, and I'm scared to look it up in case I got it wrong.
In case it's Diddy's Kong Quest, it's hard to say.
Oh, maybe it is
Diddy's Conquest Kong. is a great use of a pun that I feel like they would absolutely go for. You keep talking, Joel, I'll look it up for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I just accidentally Googled Donkey Long, so things are all happening.
Donkey Kong, Donkey Long Laundry, baby.
I wish I had just come up with a picture of a donkey that was too long, and I'd be like, that is Donkey Long.
Or Donkey Kong,
you're absolutely
with, like,
correct.
It's Diddy's Conquest?
Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Conquest, yes.
Okay, Diddy's Conquest. Anyway, Donkey Kong's being kidnapped, and everyone's like, ooh! Because they're monkeys.
That is true.
And it is up to me, Diddy Kong, and my cousin Trixie Kong to just team up and just get Donkey the fuck out of wherever he is.
Is it Diddy's Conquest where it's kind of pirate themed?
Yeah, it absolutely is. First level, you're on
King
a pirate
K Rool.
Yeah, King K Rool. King Cruel. Whoa.
Well, he'll probably be Captain King K. Rool, I reckon.
Yeah.
Joel, I'm going to come at you pretty hard over your King Kong credentials,
here. Damn.
Because it is not Trixie, it is Dixie Kong, and it is not his cousin, it is his girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They might
I didn't know they were girlfriend and boyfriend. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nothing bonds you like getting your uncle back from a crocodile, though. That is true. That really bonds people together.
Because Dixie Kong and... Dixie's cousin is the character in the third one. What's his name? Kitty Kong?
Yeah, Kitty Kong.
Kitty Kong. He
plays pretty much just like Donkey Kong, but is dressed like a big baby. It's upsetting. Yeah. I don't like Kitty Kong.
Well, we don't need to worry about him because he isn't in this game yet.
That's
but
exciting.
I think I always avoided 2 and 3 because I liked playing as Donkey Kong, and I didn't like that I couldn't play as Donkey Kong, which is funny because Diddy Kong is clearly meant to appeal to children and teens, but I was like, no, where's Donkey? No.
I want to be a big ape. Thank you very much.
Where's the business gorilla? I want to be the business gorilla.
But yeah, they've added a couple of things from the first, added a few things on top of the abilities of the first one. So things like you can stack on top of each other and throw each other, and that Dixie Kong can do cool stuff with her hair, like hover.
Mm.
And that, yeah, really, really opens it up. It also has the start of too many collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different gold coins you can get that all do different things. I'm not sure what they do because it's a Super Nintendo game, and I imagine it is explained in the instruction booklet, something that I do not have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I...
It's way harder than the first one, too.
Oh, yeah. It's a nightmare, that one. It is like... It's that kind of frustrating you just don't get from modern games, where your body gets hot and sweaty. You know, that kind of frustrating?
Yeah, the last time I was that frustrated with a game was when I was playing Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze on the Switch with you, Jackson.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't have let us both control the rhino. That was a bad move. The fact that we both decide when the rhino jumps is a baffling and cruel decision on the part of the creators.
It's a test of teamwork and your relationship as friends, and you both failed.
It failed. And then, if you watch the on YouTube currently, there's a Let's Play Me and Adam did it. We do that level so easily. We just work as a team so perfectly. But me and Dusha were like, no, I decide when the rhino jumps. And if it's to our death, so be it.
I think also our issue was that neither of us were good at it, but we were just no, I'm the best one.
No, I'm the Kong King. I don't know if I said this again when we were talking about it, wherever we were talking about it. So I've actually finished on an emulator, like a Game Boy emulator on my computer, but I've finished all of the original Donkey Kong countries, and I don't know how. Like, I remember that frustration boiling underneath me. How did I... Because they're a nightmare. Those levels where, I don't know if you've reached them yet, where you're in like a giant bramble nest and you're getting picked up by the parrot and carried through it.
Yeah.
You done that level yet?
No.
Oh my god, Dusha. Prepare to maybe have a heart attack.
Like... Yeah, that's sick. I might just keep playing it. So next week. So the last two games I've reviewed on this have been demos. And now I'm reviewing a game from 20 years ago. So I reckon maybe next week I'll just continue to review Donkey Kong Country 2.
I think you should. I think you very much should. Watch as your heart explodes.
You should work your way through the Kong Pantheon, right?
Yeah.
That's what you should be doing.
Whoa. Maybe I just become a Kong gamer exclusively.
Play DK Jungle Beat. Remember that game?
Donkey Konga.
Donkey Konga. Oh my god. Video games are good again.
If anyone has those GameCube peripherals that are the Kongos. The Kongos? No, what are they called?
Bongos.
Bongos.
The Kongo's a place.
I spelled the Kongos with a K, so I meant, I guess, like Konga. Anyway, if anyone's got those and doesn't want them, send them to me and I'll play... Actually, I don't know how I'll play it because I don't have the game. If you've got the game too, send it to me.
That would be better.
Just send Dusha an entire GameCube peripheral bongo controller and the games.
Yeah.
Did you know there were three Donkey Kongas?
I think only one got released in the West, though.
Yeah, I think it did.
Because they were very popular in Japan and in everywhere else. They were like, don't know about this.
That's
Jungle
so
Beat rules, though, because it's a platformer where you use the...
Yeah.
Things. Yeah. Which is a great thing they harness in the Wii remake of Donkey Kong Country, where they use a lot of levels, use music to, you got to move on the beats and stuff.
Yeah.
That is good. That is good.
And you know what else is good? Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Kong Quest.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting four thumbs and a knuck. The graphics could be a bit better.
That's fair.
Yeah, it looks old.
Yeah, yuck. No, The original Donkey Kong countries do look like everything's modeled out of plasticine and it's a bit disgusting. I get it. Everything's oily for some reason.
Actually, I think my one actual complaint is when you beat the level as Diddy, he plays guitar and puts sunglasses on, but it goes for a little bit too long and he can't skip it.
That does sound annoying.
He looks like a maniac with sunglasses on there. I would recommend looking that up. Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy sunglasses.
I'm doing
it. All right.
Yeah. Because they're like the
funky
Kongs.
I think the best character celebration at the end of any level that is quick and feels good is Crash Bandicoot beating a boss, and he does that little dance.
Yeah.
It's quick, and you can skip it if you can't be bothered.
Dusha, does this DeviantArt drawing of exactly what you're describing, is this what you mean? It's got a watermark on it as well of the person who did the... Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, hang on. I'll just have a quick look.
Yeah, just have a quick gander. Let me know.
It's loading. It's loading. It's that's exactly it. Yeah.
That's great. That's I'm glad. Is yep. the belly as low hanging as it is here?
No.
This drawing's gross. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, a little bit horny. Is that the problem?
No, not really. I think it's just like, it just looks like a child's drawing and they drew it wrong. Maybe someone would find it horny. Yeah. I wouldn't.
That's good.
Anyway, before we get to our emails, aka the best part of our show, because it's mm-hmm. when people who are good at words say things and people that are bad, aka are shut up for a bit, here's a quick word from our sponsors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thanks, right. sponsors.
So,
thanks.
If you want to get in contact with the show, you find us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. These people did. Much like the call I had put out 2 weeks ago, where I was like, we didn't get many emails, and then last week we got too many emails, and then I said, nah, that's good, just keep sending us heaps of emails. We got heaps of emails again.
Oh, yeah.
So straight off the bat, we got an email from Ray, who says, boys, I'm not even done with the episode yet, and the Book of Mario is killing me. If one of you doesn't play it, I'll be genuinely disappointed. Maybe this is what Jackson needs to get over his ennui. I love the Book of Mario now. I'm crying with laughter, and it's good. 10 thumbs. So, Tom, you weren't here for this, but I just need you to type in...
I'm not Joel.
No. Yeah. No, it's good. True. It's good. So, do you have a browser open in front of you?
I have my phone, which is better.
Yeah. If you just Google the Book of Mario wiki...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
No, it's fine. It's a Wikipedia.
Wiki.
Okay, here I am.
Yeah.
Now just the Book of Mario wiki.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So just scroll down and click any character name.
Yeah, doesn't matter what.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like YouTube videos. Okay, I'm going to, this is the easiest choice I've ever made. Goombell.
Goombell, yeah, great choice. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
So just read anything that you've just seen out loud.
Species. Bitch.
Yeah,
characteristic, lustful.
Yep. And Goombell looks just like a Goomba, right?
It is a female Goomba with a mining helmet on, and its alias is Nijo Goombriel from Professor Reality?
Yep.
Who the fuck is Caesar Reality? Oh my God. Professor Caesar Honesty Reality.
Oh my God.
Whose species is also fish. Are Goombas fish?
It's so hard to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. I mean, according to the Book of Mario, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure.
And Goombell is the most lustful one.
I am reading a sentence that is incredible to me. He is known... This is about Honesty Professor Caesar Reality.
Mm-hmm.
He is known to have sided against the Persians and their leader, the Princess of Peaches, during the war.
Mm. Yeah.
There
Hang
it
on, is.
Is
Mario a Persian? I thought Mario was Italian.
Great question. If you just click on Mario, you'll probably find out.
Yeah, if you click on Mario...
He was a slave owner.
Oh, no. Wait, Mario or Professor Reality?
No, the professor.
Oh, okay,
professor
that's
Jesus. Lord. My God.
I played Paper Mario. That's nothing I've ever seen.
So that's the Book of Mario. And it's a little game you can play with your friends. Pick the Book of Mario, just press anything, you'll be... Something will... Look, it's a lot.
And if I can find a good GameCube emulator, I will try and play the Book of Mario, I promise. Maybe that will fix my own way. Or I'll play the Book of Mario 64, which apparently focuses on the economic, religious, and ecological situation in the Kingdom of Fungi and the beginning, or early years, of the war, as well as the deep sexual tension between Mario and God Bowser. So, yeah. Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Don't worry, Tom. God Bowser, he's not actually a god. God is just his name. Also, it's not God Bowser, it's God Browser.
Yeah, God Browser. Excuse me.
Just quickly, trivia and Professor Reality's bit that just says Professor Reality first learned about speed in a book. What the fuck does that mean? Did he not know how things could move until he read this book? Oh, you can go fast and slow.
Oh my god.
So, Tom, you've fallen into the trap that all of us have when we find the Book of Mario, which is you're like, oh, okay, cool, we'll move past it. But me and Jackson moved on because we've been in this spot before. But Tom, we can tell this whole time you've been reading. What did you just read, Tom? Just say it.
Just say it. You gotta get it out.
Mario's son is a human toaster Cooper hybrid.
Human toaster.
Mario's son is the child of Mario and King K.
Yeah, we've been through King K. King K is a rapper. He's not Bowser. He's a Koopa Troopa with sunglasses.
Yeah.
Hang on. Uh-huh. Mario arrives at the Pity Glitz. King K immediately falls for him. At some point, they have sex, and Mario becomes pregnant for the rest of the chapter.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we never meet
what
Mario's
the fuck
son.
Is this?
His name is Mario's son. King K is a rapper, most famously known for his song "I'm a Street."
Yeah. Which we think just goes "I'm a Street, I'm a Street, I'm a Street."
No, I think it goes "I'm a Street, Street, Street,
yes,
Street."
That's true.
Street. Yeah. Or straight. Something like that.
Anyway, that's the Book of Mario, and I'll try and play it. I'll do my best to find a GameCube emulator or a Nintendo 64 emulator so I can do that.
My brain is broken.
Yeah. You're going to be looking at that all day. Maybe all week.
For the rest of your life, possibly.
Oh, yeah. Just quick question, Tom. What do you think Mario's brother's name in this is?
Yeah.
It's not Luigi, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
There's two correct answers, but I'll also give you any of the aliases if you were to guess correctly. Okay, so the green Mario is Lewis.
Yeah,
his nickname is Louisiana Air sometimes.
Yeah.
And Mario has a twin called Mark that looks exactly the same as Mario. Where's Red?
Yeah.
Mark with a C.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway.
So thank you so much, Ray. Cheers.
Tom's crying.
You've killed Tom. You champion.
All right,
is
next
it a game.
Yes, it's a, don't look. It's a
text hack of Paper Mario and Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door.
So Tom, look, you're gonna have a lot of questions, and we'll just have to answer them after the pod because you're gonna find yourself just constantly looking at this wiki whilst we're trying to do the emails, and that's fine. And happened last week as well. It's gonna keep happening.
Oh, it's so okay. There's nothing that can be done at this.
No.
Point.
We know. So this one's from Andrew. Big fan with a question for the pod. Hey, boys. Okay. Greetings from Rochester, New York.
Whoa. I'm walking here.
I'm gaming here.
I'm gaming here.
Yeah,
one up.
Hey. I'm getting a one up mushroom here.
Is this good? Is this what you hope
Andrew,
for?
Andrew, is it like you're just in the street or at a gaming store? Excuse me, sir, I'd like to buy a game. Hey, I'm working at the gaming store here.
Hey, I got a mega mushroom here. I'm bigger than regular. Hey, New York.
I've been listening since day one. Your shows Thumb Cramps and Plumbing the Death Star helped make the work days fly by and have kept me thoroughly entertained. Now for the question. What is a crappy game that you know is shit, but you still love regardless? For me, it would have to be Spider-Man 3 on the PS3. It's the game from that meme where Spidey falls from a QuickTime event and dies in a fire. Thanks for all the laughs, Andrew. So, Tom, I feel like this is a good one for you because you have this with movies and a lot of things where there's something you know is bad, but you're like, no, actually, I love it. So, is there a video game that falls into that for you? Also, same question to you, Jackson, obviously.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to think, too. I know there's games that I've played that... Like, for example, I'm still playing the Avengers game, even though it is empirically not a good game.
Yeah, I was making fun of you in a separate group chat today when we asked... Because we... Basically, what happened for this episode is Joel Zammit was originally going to record with us, but then something came up. And he was like, don't worry, just ask anyone at the company was like, I'll ask Tom, because he'll be like, yeah, I've put 100 hours into the Avengers game. I think it's actually good.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I haven't put that many hours into it. It's not a great game, but it's entertaining enough. Mm. But I'm also aware that it has a lot of flaws.
Yeah.
And
are you going to buy the DLC?
Like, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just
that's great.
Who I am.
So you've got to support. Yeah. You've got to support Square Enix, who have lost a lot of money making this game.
I tell you what's incredible, though. They've been, like, so nice to, like, people still playing the game. I've got so much free shit.
Oh, that's so funny. I don't know. I'm trying to think about the games that I really love, and I don't think any of them... There's no games that are dog shit that I continue to play, but there are games that are fine that I continue to play.
Yeah,
if
like
you know what I mean. Well, for example, so there's a game called Pathway, which I think I reviewed ages ago, which is
I do not remember it.
Yeah, oh, that's so fair. It's a kind of turn-based combat game, but it's sort of got its like treasure hunty 1930s pulp sort of themed.
Yeah.
And the game itself is kind of got a really annoying difficulty curve, and it's occasionally a bit janky, but I love the music and I love the style of it so much that I keep playing it. And that's probably the best example. And even then, like, it's still a pretty good game. So
I know that I played a lot of GoldenEye Rogue Agent on the GameCube, which is a first person shooter that people didn't like, but I did. I don't know if I play it now if I'd like it, but I know that as a teen people were like, the game sucks. I was like, yeah, maybe, but I'm having fun.
Yeah, who can say for sure though?
I have one more game that has just come to mind based on that. Is a game that my brother and I used to play a lot of on PlayStation, which I don't think is necessarily even a good game because I've never seen it ever again. Is a game called Star Wars Demolition, where the premise of the game is you just have to crash into one another in like various kinds of Star Wars
ships.
That
sounds great.
It's definitely famous for being a terrible game.
Oh, we loved it. We played it like every day together.
That's amazing.
And it's not like it's not a great game. Like thinking about it, the premise of the game is you fly around and you've got to just destroy one another, and you can be Boba Fett or you can be Sebulba's brother, I think. So
Sebulba's brother.
Yeah. Called Pugwits.
Why not Sebulba? Wait, called Pugwits.
Pugwits. So it's yeah, you could play as, like, Darth Maul, and you could play as Princess Leia as that bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And Boba Fett. But everyone else was just, like, a random... Like, there was a guy flying a Naboo starfighter.
Why is Sebulba not in this game, but Pugwiss is?
Pugwiss is. In fact, I might even be... Yeah, it's pretty wild. You can play as an AT-T. Look, it's not a great game, but my brother and I played it a lot, and it's super fun.
My understanding of the game is it's Carmageddon.
Yeah.
Sorry, Twisted Metal, but Star Wars.
I guess so. I've never played Twisted Metal either.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. I'm going to be losing my mind that they were like, we can't have our established character, Sebulba. We need to make Pugwiss his brother. That has destroyed me.
Or cousin. I'm going to look up Pugwiss.
But why?
it doesn't matter what their familiar relation is. It's not
Sebulba.
He's
the grandson of Sebulba.
There you go. Yep, he's the grandson of Sebulba.
Why?
Does Sebulba die in the pod race? Is that why?
Pugwiss is a male Dug and son of Hercula, making him the grandson of legendary pod racing champion Sebulba.
What the Christ? I don't understand. I'll never understand, frankly. Yeah.
It's not for you to know.
I'm going to stop thinking about it now.
And if you wanted to email us with any questions asking us about good games or bad games or to remind us of the Book of Mario again, you can email us at thumbcrampspod or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. And sorry, you can actually email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. I forgot the second part of that.
They could figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be a Hotmail account.
No. Well, it might be. Who knows? It's Thumb Cramps, and it's a Sandspans radio podcast. It could be anything. It could be an MSN account. Who knows?
Yeah, just private messages on MSN, please.
Someone nudged us.
That's cool.
Today's episode has been like 410 thumbs or something. Yeah. We've all thought about the movie Cube. We've all thought about Mario. We've all thought about Star Wars Demolition. And we've learnt about Sebulba's grandson. So all in all, another perfect episode. And
true,
on that
powerful
note,
stuff.
I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Tom.
And Tom, you're on a bunch of podcasts on the network.
Yes.
What are they?
So I'm sometimes on D&D's for Nerds. I think that campaign is out at the moment where I'm a big angry turtle.
I think so.
I'm also on How Good's Footy, which is on every Monday at the moment until Footy is completely dead. It'll come
Except,
back. And
No, Tom. It's not every Monday. It gets released on a Wednesday.
Oh, we record on a Monday. That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
You're dumb.
Just put up with this every week.
Yep.
It's incredible. And I also do a show called Scaredy Boys, which is about three cowardly friends watching horror movies, which comes out on Fridays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Check them out. Tight.
That's it. That's the episode. Hope everyone enjoyed. Goodbye.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.